This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty, a very special live-streamed episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, Johnny G, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2", 301 pounds. He's still up there. It's been a rough couple of weeks over in the Gabris household. It's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, abortion is healthcare. Who abandoned Snoopy in the vestibule? Oh my God, Leonard Bernstein. Killer impression. Two Bradley Cooper characters back to back. And Rocket Raccoon. That's three, bitches. That's right, it's a special live stream episode. I be riffing. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Just kidding, he doesn't travel anymore. But joining me here is a way less silent guest. We're talking about Jane Rogers. Little Lady Jane Rogers is in the house, and she brought along with her my friend, a fellow Action Boys. Put your fucking hands together for Ben Rogers.
Happy to be here, as always.
Now, this is where you run the oxygen tank out for me, right? Well, I get like
I got a fan
I get the NFL cool zone. I got to get like the fan, and my bald head is like, I'm in the Harkonnen fucking tub.
They gotta throw you in one of those dune suits.
Oh, fuck, Raj. Thanks for coming to do these highly experimental shows for over 80 people online.
Yeah, no, this is incredible. I get to read all the comments. Number one curse word, boy.
Okay, the Christians have arrived. Hell yeah. That's my number one fan base. Bless up, municipal. Bless yeah. up, bless.
Yo.
Big bless.
He is risen. It's coming.
He is risen. Good Friday player this
it's
weekend.
Coming right around the block.
Coming Sunday. He's back, bitch. Last month's episode kicked off with me bitching about how every corporation is hollowing out their business models and, stripping the copper wire out of the walls, and you can't get someone on the phone to help you if your product breaks. You have to just buy a new one. No one cares about repairs or making stuff that lasts anymore. Well, I want to talk about the same shit, but in reference to the entertainment industry. We are hollowing out art at this point. If you know, let's loosen it up here a little bit. We're talking movies. We're talking TV. It all sucks now. I'm just kidding. Please gas me in anything. I'll make it. I'll keep it fully mediocre for you. Don't worry. I won't be outlandish. No, you won't cast me. You know why you won't cast me? Is because I'm kind of funny, but I only have 80,000 Instagram followers. If I was not funny at all, but made up a fucking TikTok where I made a caramel frappuccino that you fucking liked, I would have like two lines on the new Night Court.
Is that cool if I do that?
You totally can, by the way. You got to check out Roger's TikTok. He's really into it, and he's super pro-China about a lot of stuff. Wait, the Twitch stream just shut down.
They were confused in Hong Kong. The protests were just...
Yeah, we don't have to unpack all of that just yet. But I'm so tired of, like... We joke about it. We talk about how there's no... of course we joke about it, but the middle class has been eradicated in a way where there's not middle class
things to do anymore. You either have to be super elite or be getting help from the government. Now, the same shit's happening in movies and entertainment. It's either a scrappy indie made by like six, SVA kids on iPhones, or it's The Rock doing some sort of like spawn con for fucking lotion or something. By the way, The Rock has been spiraling, dude. He's clearly feeling the itch of what happened in Hollywood, because he's got lower and lower fucking grit. Like, Zoa energy drink was like a business. Now he's like, the skin is looking real nice. He's doing lotions now.
Well, I think when the DC Universe power structure unraveled,
he changed the hierarchy like maybe too much.
Yeah. This is the first I've ever heard SponCon.
Yeah.
Is that an actual word?
I believe so. Wow. A sponsored content. Yeah, I think we call it SponCon. Trust me, take it from a guy who's made over $3,000 in the last decade doing SponCon.
Wow.
that is $3,000 over the decade. I could almost pay 1 month's rent with that. Actually, more than that. I have rent control department. This is none of your fucking business, people. But everything is now for huge, like, I get, this is like too personal, but I get auditions and I'm like, it's not going to be me. It's going to be Patton Oswalt. These people are wildly available. It used to be like, oh, I'm working on a project or I don't want to mess with my brand. But now everyone's brand is like, I got to get money. And fans were okay with that because getting the bag is like super important. It feels like you root, like, someone might say, oh, yeah, well, fucking Conor McGregor made fucking $20 million making that movie. Like, I saw an Instagram post that was like, it's the highest paid debut acting by anyone is a Conor McGregor. And it's like, you can't really count that because he's cameoing and he is a wealthy, famous person. And he sucks in the movie. Like, it's fucking crazy. They went with that. And he's fun. It's fun that he's in the movie, but it is bad. It is not, it's not a real movie. We'll talk more about this with Rogers later, who hasn't seen it, but he told me to try to either sell him on it or off it. And I'm going to just steer into the skid with a little bit with that. But all this big shit, all these big bloated movies, we're making 600. Cord Jefferson, the writer director of American Fiction at the Oscars, said something that really hit home for me, where he said, yes, okay, fine, make a $200 million movie, but maybe once in a while, let's make 10 $20 million movies or 5 $40 million movies that are all sequels of each other. Okay, you know what I'm trying to say here. But think about it.
I got the calculator out.
This flipped me out with the Dave Chappelle shit, too, when he got $80 million from Netflix. In my head, I go, 250 grand would change a stand-up comedian's life. So you could take 320 comics, give them the money you were going to give to Chappelle, give that to 320 comics, change their lives, and maybe in the meantime find six or seven more Chappelle-level comedians, or at least a few more comedians whose talent you want to foster. And you would like quadruple your stand-up library in one $80 million investment, but instead it's just loose anti-trans shit from a 60-year-old guy smoking cigarettes. Like, he's the fucking GOAT. He is incredible. Was incredible. He is fine now. Like, I'm sorry. I always like the dude. He doesn't have it. Like, he doesn't not have it, like he's not allowed to do shit anymore, but he doesn't have $80 million worth of material. For fuck's sake, I'm going after Chappelle. Yeah, come for me. I got 75 people confirmed in the room right now listening to this shit. Oh, man, this is only my first live stream of the day. I'm so glad you guys are here. So glad you made it.
This is like where you gave me all your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just witnessing your suicide.
Yeah, I'm just like that news story guy. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. And I'm like, and listeners, of course, I'll be donating all of my athletic greens to you guys out there. That's right. 10 years of podcasting. What do I have to show for it? A ton of athletic greens. And it's the one thing I use. Like, what?
You got to put it in your fridge.
Dude, you told me that, and I forgot to, and I still haven't. I just realized that as you said.
You've been losing those probiotics.
Fuck, dude. No wonder why my shit's so loose. We'll get to that and more as we continue on the High and Mighty live streamed episode. I'm going to bounce over to Rogers now. I'm supposed to tell my production crew that so I don't just disappear from the frame. I'm moving. I'm walking. Oh, Jamie!
Pony up.
All right.
And this is where the dog's in the frame now.
Janie's gonna come.
Yeah, you keep singing that to her. I don't like it.
No. She doesn't. My sister-in-law, Janie, hates it. Just the lyrics work.
My
perfect.
Niece hates it.
My Janie Jr. Hey, Jean, how you doing, babe? Hi. Jane's an old friend of mine. This is the camera right here, right? Are the mics just low for me? Yeah. Yes, Brandon. Turn your volume up, dude.
Brandon,
hi,
hello.
Oh, boy.
Are the mics just low for me?
Oh, someone's saying the mics are off.
Oh, mics are off.
But that could be... That's not true.
Ben looks like David Hyde Pierce.
You get De Niro earlier, and then someone else says David Hyde Pierce.
What
an
a
indie
combo.
David Hyde Pierce. Okay.
What indie? Okay.
Thank you. Indie, cover your heart. So, couch mic very low. Okay, Jacobo. Everyone just relax. We're
the Jacobo. 2023.
Do me a favor, guys. Everyone jump into the chat and just give audio notes on the fly. To the fucking hosts. Yeah, no, the professionals that get paid and that I pay to do this shit are saying it's fucking wonderful, okay? So chill. Rogers.
Yes, sir.
I knew it was a big ask when I said maybe you could... This kind of came together last minute, you guesting on this. Because it is, I forgot to say earlier, it's still March Movie Madness Month and maybe May. It's really funny. I feel like I'm in a store in the middle of nowhere that keeps coming up with like sales and no one even like walks by or anything. Like I have like all these theme months and it's like, you still have 40 listeners.
March Movie Madness, maybe May.
Yeah, that's what happened when I booked the fifth guest doing movie stuff. I was like, oh shit. Well, maybe I'll do 2 months. May starts with an M. And I'll just go, in April, I'll stop talking about movies for a month and then go back on in May.
Wait, Birthday Rich says, hi, Ben. Hi, Birthday Rich. Fucking love this.
Hey, Birthday Rich. I can't believe you're here, brother. Is Birthday Rich like a guy who's kind of broke, but on his birthday, he acts super rich? Yeah.
He fucking big times it. Yeah. A birthday rich, weekday poor.
364 days out of the year, lower middle class. January 31st, Aquarius parties. Let's go.
Oh, fuck. Gabrus drops his real birthday.
Always. I want gifts from you freaks. Oh, everyone's just sending me audio equalizers. Thanks. Thank you. I got 4 Zoom H6s this year again. Yes, I am warming up for the Doughboys finale tonight. I'm having coffee now so I could shit before I eat a shit ton of Taco Bell. And then I'll have another coffee after that show at midnight or whatever.
You're flying high, man.
I'm feeling crazy right now, too. I was, like, in a rush today, and I forgot, like, 4 things.
The monologue was a lot.
No, that's the new me, dude. That's who I am now. No, I keep ranting on other podcasts, ours included,
yes.
That I'm like, let me save this for, like, my
I'll
bullshit.
Fully purge myself.
And then in my head, when I get on one of these fucking jags about things I hate, I could just be like, I'll save it for the live stream where I can scream. And I still invite my co-host and buddy to have the
This is more like you're here to see if I should be 51-50.
Yeah. Yeah, you're here with a pistol pointed at me off camera to be like, take the fucking shot, dude.
So Gabriel says a crazy day. Have you factored in crash time?
Don't really crash. You know, I'll crash after. I'll be okay. I'll probably be cranky backstage before the Doughboy show, but I already am. Like, I was gonna do that anyway. Emma saying me too. Emma, you think I'm doing 2 back-to-back live streams? Emma's producing 2 of them. Okay.
And then what about crank off time? Like,
oh,
what?
I'll be, that's the drive.
Okay.
I think it's like only 15 minutes from here to Dynasty Typewriter, so I'll get 3 or 4 loads off.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I have the Dune popcorn bucket in my cup holder, and I just fucking lean over.
You got the audio from Love Lies Bleeding, like, bootlegged.
It's the director's commentary, so it shouldn't even be that hot, but it's just enough for me.
It gets the job done. I mean, with those Dune popcorn buckets, you can kind of do anything.
I'll be fucking tugging off, blasting my mango jewel, fucking the popcorn bucket.
You got the chunkiest jewel I have ever seen.
So let's talk a little bit about Roadhouse.
One of the most likable movies ever made.
Yes, and that's what they forgot when they made the new one. I will come out right now and say I didn't dislike the Gyllenhaal Roadhouse. I kind of thought it was pretty fun. If you called it Florida Bouncer, I might have liked it like even 10% more. It's very Looney Tunes.
What a great title that'd be. Florida Bouncer.
That shit would work on me.
Yeah.
I would pull that right off. It's like a dream job. I mean, that's what my guidance counselor told me on my senior year.
All right, I'll watch this.
You, Gabrus, have you thought about Florida Bouncer as a profession? Yeah, I think you have what it takes for like front-facing industry. But it's...
I've said this before. We should start with the old Roadhouse, which I have seen. Mm-hmm. I was planning on watching this last night to talk about this, but I was in a show that ran long, and everybody at the show said they watched some of it.
Yeah,
and they were like, "It's always bad." I know no one who's seen it in one sitting so far.
Oh yeah, not even me. I watched it in two sittings, but I have watched.
But the original Roadhouse is a beloved movie. It's one of those movies that people love, but they don't necessarily go out of their way to talk about it, like, say, Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah, there's like a weird light shame around it. I'm gonna blow up some spots
here. Okay.
Anya asked me, a producer Anya asked, is the new one as gay as the old one? And I was like, oh.
I have a whole zine. I should have brought it today if I knew you were talking.
You have
about
a gay Roadhouse zine?
Yes.
Well, there is. He does.
Thank you for buying it. I know who bought it. I shipped it.
There's a couple like Brokeback Mountain-esque shots of Ben Gazzara watching Patrick Swayze do tai chi and stuff
in gray sweats.
Yeah, and
like
it does
the male equivalent of a tank top with no bra. Yeah,
yeah. The which I should have worn here. But the
I'm glad you did wear a bra though.
One of my friends used to do programming at, like, I've told this story before on Action Boys. He used to be a cable channel programmer, and whenever they needed a fill-in slot, they would throw Roadhouse in there. He's like, it always spiked our ratings. Like, anytime Roadhouse was on TV, it just shot up. It's just a movie people will watch.
It's hard to turn off, especially the original has so many sequences where... You know those movies where you're like, oh, if it's this part, I might as well leave this on for a second. Roadhouse has like 8 of those segments. It's like, oh, shit, it's where he's falling. Oh, it's the fight. Oh, it's the monster truck at the used car.
The monster truck is what really puts it over. There's the story, too, about Bill Murray watching it and like calling, like, what's her name? Kelly Lynch's husband. Who's she married to?
I forget who she's married to, but it's not Travolta. It's... It's a big movie producer, right?
I can't remember, but he would call her. He would call him and be like, I'm watching your wife right now.
She's fucking crazy against the concrete wall in his barn attic that he lives in.
The fact that he was, it's so ridiculous in the perfect kind of way. In a way, Gyllenhaal's almost too good an actor
for
the role.
Gyllenhaal is too believable of a fighter, and he's playing... in a disgraced MMA champion,
okay.
Like a disgraced UFC champion, a guy who, like, spoiler alert, like, knew the guy he was fighting with, but snapped and, like, pummeled him after, I think, killed him. Like, and so he's already a capable fighter.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing the movie does get right, the remake gets right, is the magical realism of, like, a bar where there's, like, they only do a couple of lines where they're, like, and the cops won't come near the place. Like, they just say a few things that kind of set up, like, you're in a magical world of hand-to-hand combat.
It's not a country stuck in endless litigation over every possible thing where people are just looking for places without wheelchair-accessible bathrooms to sue. But, like, no, anybody can stab anybody with no consequences.
They they try a lot of the original has so much magic going for it, and I think the key of all the magic is Swayze, obviously. It's just not the type of guy you think's going to be in this kind of role. But when surprisingly hyper capable.
When he goes to the hospital and meets Kelly Lynch's doctor character for the first time and explains that he's an NYU philosophy major.
Which is so funny.
It's the funniest fucking shit.
It's two good specifics, because it's funny that he's a philosophy major, but then it's also funny that he went to NYU, and then specifically for philosophy adds like a whole nother layer to it. Like, he just like lived in New York City at like 19 and he's fucking Dalton.
Here's my medical stuff. I'm actually a philosophy major from NYU.
Pain don't hurt. That's the he and
hey Mio.
And Sam Elliott is the other side of the magic in that movie, I feel.
She's
like
she's pretty good looking, Mio.
Now,
okay, but isn't that the gayest part?
Yeah, I
they're,
mean
yeah, yeah. When they're
two,
back in...
when a man and his mentor catch up over drinks is the gayest part for you. That's a little myopic on you.
Okay.
Was
not
gay
all
when Miyagi taught
not all male husband? Friendships have to be gay.
All male friendships may be gay and can be gay.
But they don't have
they
to
don't
be.
They don't have to.
They're so close, like this, the whole time.
I know. It's good framing. That's filmmaking, baby.
And then the fucking, what's his, the blind guitarist, what's his name?
Jeff Healy
band.
They try to do that in this movie. They do have... It was really funny.
They got the chicken wire up.
They put the chicken. I'm watching with Tiffany. She's like, "Are these people behind a fence?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's actually one of the things from the original movie that they're doing in this." But they keep switching the band, which I like in the idea of making the movie of like, "Oh, we'll showcase like eight like new bands." But there are a few moments. There are a few moments where it's like a white woman singing reggae, and then later on a black woman is singing Sublime, and it's like, really? She's like, "You got the one you got," and I'm like, "Is that Sublime?" And I'm like, "They're putting Sublime song," and then you think, "Oh, it's a Key West bar. They would be cranking fucking Sublime."
Yeah, it should be all fucking like Cheeseburger and Paradise.
Right. It should be Jimmy Buffett. Should be Jimmy and Warren.
Jeff
Buffett.
Healy doing Jimmy Buffett.
Now, the new one is a fine movie. I'm tired of remaking these things that are so charming because of the era that they're in. Yeah. Now, like, forever, people will go, like, when you say Roadhouse, they'll go, like, the new one or the old one? I'd be like, no, why would I be...
No, you know, not always. Sometimes they fade away. Nobody's like, "Oh, you mean 2014's RoboCop?"
Right.
Like,
RoboCop
nobody...
and Total Recall have
those fucking disappeared. Yeah, those got wiped off.
But
the...
I would say in 2014, you had the 18 thing... months. You... Oh, right. Did they?
Yeah. They did a pseudo sequel reboot of The Thing.
I don't even...
That was like 2013, maybe.
And The Thing is a pseudo sequel reboot. Of,
that's a remake.
Of...
But that's a remake of a Howard Hawks movie from maybe 40, 50 years earlier.
Right.
So like,
that's like a long enough hook for me.
Yeah, I guess it's not that much different. I don't know. It just seems like the Hawks one is a black and white era movie that maybe didn't get as many reruns as constantly as the John Carpenter one. It's less about the time period when they're made. It's about how long they've been gone from the zeitgeist.
Dude,
Roadhouse has never left the zeitgeist. It's on TV every fucking day.
No, I know. That's what drives me crazy about this. Like, we talk about this a lot on Action Boys, but like, I think remakes are for movies that got it wrong X amount of years ago and no one is talking about. Those are the movies that should be remade, not movies that have built-in fan... This is what I was talking about a little earlier. It's like the shitty part of the business is that they'd rather remake a movie that's already been successful. And they don't even care if it doesn't do as well. That's what's like heartbreaking. It's like...
It's tough.
No one's going to like these remakes more than they like the original. If they like both.
Sometimes you remake a classic and it's a lot of fun and it's worth it. A couple that stand out to me are Wages of Fear got remade into Sorcerer.
Right.
They're both great movies. Sorcerer, maybe I like even more. Cape Fear got remade by Scorsese.
Right.
And I think about the remake all the fucking time.
Right. That's one of those movies I don't even think of as a remake. Sort of like Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower. I forget that is a cover. You know
Bob
what I mean?
Bob Dylan's song,
like,
yeah.
Because he like has such singular ownership.
Even
of
Bob
it.
Dylan says he feels like he's covering it.
Right. That's what... The
why did you give me a dirty look? Okay.
What?
So she's Googling Jimi Hendrix. And Dylan, right? What?
Oh, the fucking Gen Alpha.
Everything now says Dark Knight, just the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Well, thank you, Everything Now Show, for popping in here. Those are our friends over on we've done their show a few times.
We love the Everything Now Show. I've got some props for you guys.
Yeah,
you got a Superman cape coming your way.
That's what me and Rogers talked about on the way out of our last doing. We were like, I'm like, they have such a great prop closet. I'm like, I should just drop a bunch of this shit that I'm dying to get rid of. I have like toy guns that I don't fucking need anymore.
Yeah, and you know, it would be useful.
they are getting play out of it.
I got a great moo-moo that they can have.
I'm going to just donate my clothes so that they have extra large shirts in case they have stuff I can wear when I come over to do spits. I'm always just, the bit is I'm too big for this woman's shirt.
Here's another tiny t-shirt.
The remake energy, it just feels like it's the wrong, like, oh, people love Roadhouse. What do people love about that? Let's distill that down and not be like, we don't need to make another Roadhouse, but like, what do people love about it? It's an interesting guy in the lead of a sort of like different type of a straightforward kind of action
movie. Is there a Sam Elliott cameo?
No. There's no cameos.
That's one thing that Cape Fear did. They gave some really fun cameos.
Oh, I would have to. I wouldn't even be able to pick up on those cameos. I bet I'd have to watch the original.
You would, because yeah. I mean, what they
this
did
is like a random 85-year-old guy. Yeah. Like...
Well, this is a small role for Gregory Peck.
Oh, right. Yeah. I recognize that guy from so much stuff. Yeah. Oh,
God,
yeah.
Well, a lot of gravitas with that guy. Jesus,
gravitas. Kiefer Sutherland's favorite words, said it on Inside.
Hey, Mio, I saw your MMA fight. You kill that son of a bitch.
The bar owner is played by Jessica Williams, who's looking for someone to help revamp her uncle's bar that she took over, that there's fights at every night. The Ben Gazzara type is played by Billy Magnuson, and he is, I kind of like that dude. His style of acting plays into this movie because the movie is very, very heightened. It's kind of Looney Tunes-esque, even in its violence and stuff.
Okay.
But it's not a full vote of confidence in the style, but I appreciate what they're going for. Like, the choreography of the fights is pretty cool. They do a lot of, like, whip inside of the fight, like, no-cut fights, like... you get punched, the camera whips with you, and then it comes whips back with you as you return the punch. So that's kind of like,
because Lyman did Born Identity.
Yes. What was Lyman's movie? He also did Edge of Tomorrow, right?
That I can't remember, but I do think Born Identity is a controversial action movie.
I agree. I love it.
I enjoyed it when I saw it, but I like a lot of movies that were successful, the copycats. The
copycats ruin it.
The
for
The style of action in that movie is not my style of action.
Right,
where you can't really tell what the fuck is going on.
And but like, maybe I can't eat habanero peppers all the time. But once in a while, it's a nice treat. But if you were like, oh, I kind of like habanero peppers, and someone's like, I put it in every fucking thing you're gonna watch for the next
next 15 years.
Like,
yeah.
That's John Wick for me now, and I like John Wick more than you do, but its influence in like the gun kata and gun fu shit that's all over the place now drives me fucking crazy.
I like John Wick just to, for people who don't know my fucking rants and raves, but I'm just less a fan of the coin verse.
Yeah, well, that's completely understandable. This last one too went so deep into the coin verse. I'm like, you have Donnie Yen playing like a hilarious blind samurai. It's so awesome. And then we're like, at the end of the movie, of course, we have to like hammer out the logic between the coin duel or whatever.
The
like,
desperation for universes is just
upsetting.
It's sucks. So
do you know anyone who's watched The Continental?
No.
I would have killed to like be on that show. And, like, I don't know anyone who's like talked about it. The only time I see anything about The Continental, and I'm sorry to the Continental cast creators, the only time I see anything about it is I follow my friend Adam Shapiro, the actor, is in it. So like I only see thing about it when he posts like a plug of like, oh, another day on the movie. I'm like, oh yeah, this thing came out. I think I own the streamer that it's on. I should check it out. But if I'm not gonna watch the John Wick spinoff,
yeah,
show,
that's
like,
that's always
fail.
A bad, yeah. Yeah, bad sign. Because I it's like right. I mean, the fact that I haven't watched The Roadhouse is a bad sign. I will say they paid off. They paid off Lyman. They paid off Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal.
I think
Gyllenhaal.
Either one works.
Get in there. Get some of that. Yeah. Yes. Lick the mic too. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's looking. Yo, put on a show, girl.
Get in there, Janie girl. The Zebra's gonna come.
So these guys got paid off by Amazon because they didn't release this movie theatrically. Because
I love Doug Liman in the press going, these motherfuckers told me their movie was going to come out in theaters. Yeah. I wouldn't have said yes.
So they paid them millions of dollars to just shut up about it. And I think they have a right to be mad or a right to get all that fucking money. Because I don't care how much all these guys try to say that streaming's the future. Theaters have survived. They survived the pandemic.
Yes.
People like going to the movie theaters. We saw it's just a fact. We saw it with Barbie. We saw it again with Dune. People like going to the movies. It's the people fucking movies have survived the depression, the fucking wars, the pandemic,
it's
all
been
this
a hairy
shit.
100-something years yes. in America since and cinema's been invented, and they are still ripping.
And all these guys trying to push the streaming like it, or to get people to watch their shit. In my brain, it still feels like a made-for-TV movie if it's on if it premieres on a streamer.
Is that a generational thing? Because that's how I feel too. And I'm so broken. I don't know if it's my TV, my setup, or the money that goes into streaming movies. Every time I watch one, I'm like, why does this look bad?
Yeah.
It always seems flat. It always seems... to quote Bret Easton Ellis, who is shitting on prestige TV versus movies, he says, like, prestige TV, even the best of it doesn't have the ambiance of a good film. And I feel like that's what's missing from a lot of streaming movies is like, and maybe it's the actual delivery service of the medium is that I'm not sitting in the theater and like being encompassed by the movie.
I think a TV show just doesn't, and no matter how good it is, it doesn't stay with you the same way a movie does.
Right, because there's a weird impulse to want to see the next one of TV, too, especially in like narrative television. You're like, well, I can't wait till next week's Shogun now that
this one's
over.
They've like they algorithmicized all the fucking shit, so it's like, well, it's got to have a hook here and a cliffhanger here.
Yeah, I've heard some like nightmare stories from director friends who are like, we want to start with this like long tracking shot of a car driving or something like that. And then Netflix was like, no dice. We got to see the hero with like in the first few minutes. And like, they got to be doing something heroic.
One of the things we love to rant about on our show is just because, I mean, we watch so many movies and we use a million different streaming services. The autoplay feature on credits is really driving me fucking crazy. The Criterion channel is the only one that just lets the credits roll and doesn't have some pop-up shit on the side.
And shrink the credits. And then we can talk about this because it's not easy to then just watch the credits.
No, you can't. So like Gabrus and I love the soundtracks of a lot of the movies we watch, or even just the fucking bullshit that comes at the end.
There's
and,
sometimes like yeah, a made original just, song made for the movie being rapped by LL Cool J. I don't want to miss it.
And maybe I'm so in the fucking movie that I'm enjoying just the like coming down from the experience with whatever shit they're playing with while the credits roll. And then like Amazon will think I want to watch some other bullshit, which I don't want to watch, and I'll like try to get it off the screen because
and then
like,
when you go to click
off,
on that,
then it goes off, and then it just asks me if I want to restart the movie. I can't just restart from the last like
no,
because
then you're like, am I going to restart? Then fast forward the hour
Fuck
and 40
no,
minutes
no.
all the way up to the credits, then press play. And I've done that, and when I got to the credits, it hit me with the shrink again, and I was like, the thing that drives me crazy is you should be at least allowed to turn that off. I understand why the streamers...
You can get autoplay off.
Okay.
That you can get. So it doesn't automatically just throw a new movie on with the countdown of like whatever it thinks you want next. That you can turn off. But then, I mean, still, that's a fucking hassle. The norm, just like how TVs come programmed with like motion smooth and shit,
yeah,
that the norm is you got to go in and turn that off.
Yeah.
Like, the norm should
be like...
Don't
worry, this car comes with 8 things that you hate, but you can take them off when you drive it home. You got to pay for it, obviously.
One of my friends was telling me about it, like his dishwasher breaking. and it's broken a million times, and he asked like the repair guy, was like, what should we have bought? He was like, this model, because it doesn't have any of the smart home features that always break, and then the whole fucking thing.
Dude, this is like the kind of shit I've been talking about the last 2 months. People don't even want to make a good dishwasher anymore because it's not a good business model to be like, you buy one dishwasher, you buy a Whirlpool, you got it for 20 years. Like, that's... Now they need to grow at such a constant rate for the sake of fucking shareholders that it's got to be a smart... You got to pay like a $4.99 a month soap subscription fee.
Well, watch out, because I don't want somebody from like Whirlpool or whatever fucking like blowing your brains out and like leaving
like
a suicide note.
Hey, guys.
If anything happens to Gabriel,
if anything happens to me,
it wasn't
an accident, okay? I got too close to Big Dish.
Big Dishwasher, I guess. Yeah, it forces... I understand from the perspective of the streamer that they're like, we want to watch another episode. You should want to watch. And sometimes I do. Like, when I'm watching bullshit, binging Netflix stuff, I'm like, yes, start it. I don't need to watch the credits for Castlevania every single time. Just start it.
I also think binging didn't work, right?
No.
Everybody else battled off binging except for Netflix, which is too stubborn to say that it was a failure.
And I feel like they're not even fully... Because they're still doing, like, mini fake, like... Season 1 is 6 episodes, season 2 will be out in 6 months and is 6 and I'm like, this is just so, this is a new release structure. It's not binging.
The whole idea of like season 1.2 will be out in 3 months.
I hate that shit. And as we know as actors, thank you, Emma. See you down at Dynasty.
Emma is out. She couldn't take the Whirlpool criticism.
Yeah, I guess Emma's parents own a dishwasher.
Yeah.
Not a company.
Yeah. Not a company. They have one. She's really sensitive about it.
I'm old enough to remember a dishwasher being a sign of like extreme wealth.
Look how fucking mad Jane is. Emma
Jane
left.
Is like, shit, someone got out of here and I couldn't stop them. The herd is broken. Yeah. She's going to get killed by a fucking saber-toothed tiger now. I hope you're happy. They fucking hollowed out like everything and all these streaming services. They're like,
what the fuck did you get into?
I don't know.
Why are you randomly wet?
God knows what she found. And part of it is, if you sit and really focus on some of these streaming shows, you're like, this is garbage. And yeah, TV, I watch a lot of garbage. I grew up watching garbage. Well-made garbage. I'd be like, I put on 20 episodes in a row. I don't give a fuck. But sometimes you just want to, like, live in the... Here's the thing. I get high and watch TV sometimes.
What?
Yeah, sorry.
No fucking way.
Yeah, sorry.
You heard it here first, folks.
Send the cops.
Gabris gets high and watches TV.
But
no shit.
It's really funny. I'll wake up the next morning and be like, or like the next night, I'll be like, oh shit, okay, let's throw back on The Americans, babe. And I'll be like, whoa, we made it to season 3 last night? It's like, oh no. Wait, we got to jump back. It auto-played like 6 more episodes after we'd both fallen asleep or something like that. And I'm like, I don't remember any of this. And it's like, oh, we're 6 ahead than where we should be. Ooh.
I remember watching it was like the premiere of season 3 of Succession or something. And so I threw it on and it starts and... Brian Cox gets up in the middle of the night and he pisses in the closet. And I'm like, God, he's doing this again? And I watched for like a really long time before realizing like I had a new like Apple TV or whatever.
And
so
you're
just
watching
season one. It's just like autoplays
from
that. Like,
I can't place the show, but Tiff and I watched it for really long. I'm like, oh, weird. This all looks mad familiar. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's like an interesting like mirroring of the, and then I was like, nope, we're watching the pilot of a show we've seen 10 times.
I really like The Americans, but my one criticism of The Americans is I cannot tell the seasons really apart at all. Like, I think I rewatched an entire season, and I still am not sure whether I did or not.
Dude, that combined weed with late night TV watching, and maybe one of us is asleep, and maybe the other is, like, who knows? And we're like, I've seen this. And she's like, I've never seen this. And then, like, we go like 10 minutes further. She's like, well, this I've seen. And I'm like, well, I've never seen this. And it's like, we're just like in and out, completely missing each other, like what we're trying to watch. Sort of symbolic of our entire relationship. Really.
You know what I threw on? And it was funny that our boy Krychek, who does our, he posts all the great collages on our Action Boys Instagram page.
I think he like literally like learned Photoshop for our show.
Krychek's a savant of Photoshop. He won us over with his Photoshops, but he sent us a post from Michael Douglas where he's eating. He's like, this is the biggest oyster I've ever seen. And the thing is fucking massive.
It is the biggest oyster I have ever seen as well. Like it's like the size of a fucking halved grapefruit.
Like, yeah, it looks like huevos rancheros.
Yeah, it does look like an egg with no yolk. A giant fucking egg in this oyster.
And Michael Douglas, who's got to be like 80 years old.
Yeah.
He just fucking downs the whole thing.
80 years old and sort of famous for cunnilingus. You know what I mean? Like, yes. has a good rep for cunnilingus.
Got throat cancer, the type that is associated with HPV. And he famously was quoted as saying it's the cause of and cure to.
Is eating Catherine Zeta-Jones's box. The fucking dream. Imagine you show up at his house, you're like, I think I have throat cancer. Is CZJ around?
give me a minute.
She's upstairs crawling under a laser beam like it's Entrapment. It's the millennium.
I was talking with one of my friends about, I can't remember what the controversy, it was the Boeing thing. We were talking about the Boeing suicide.
Yeah, we talked about it in the upcoming episode of Shadow Wolves.
So I was telling her about the Boeing suicide, and I was like, it couldn't be Boeing. Why would they point the finger at themselves like this? And she's like, because that's how they want. Like, everyone will think, why would they do that? And I'm like,
that logic you could just say in response to everything.
Yes, right? And I was like, well, that's the basic instinct logic. And she was like, what? And I was like, have you ever seen Basic Instinct? And she's like, no. And I was like, let's just fucking watch it. So I threw on Basic Instinct.
You're on a date with her. You're like, I'm going to throw on Basic Instinct because I think you would like this interesting storyline. Opens with like hardcore fucking in the bed.
Hardcore fucking. And then a brutal murder.
You sure you've never seen this, hon? What are we getting your coat on for?
Outdated modes of what lesbians are like.
Yeah, outdated ideas of what lesbians are like, what
sex is,
consent is, what sex is. Yeah.
But the one of the stories I told her was the Bart Simpson keychain story, which is Action Boys adjacent. Of, we did an episode on Basic Instinct a while ago where we were fascinated by the Bart Simpson keychain, which has a big part in the movie.
Yeah, it's used to like remember that, oh, she has
a spare set of keys to Nick's place that has a Bart Simpson keychain, which seems out of place for both Michael Douglas's character and for Gene Triplehorn's character. Yeah. It doesn't
for the whole movie. Yes. It's a little too cute for,
yes,
like a dark.
You're like, that's really fucking
psychosexual,
yes,
thriller. Yeah.
And then it ends up having a becoming a plot point. And so it's like, oh, that's why they wanted us to remember it.
Right.
And we were curious.
Could have been a rabbit's, yeah, foot, and would have like held your attention the same way.
Maybe. Bart, I don't know.
Nothing held it like Bart.
And then one of our listeners who writes,
shout out Alan Siegel, who's a writer for The Ringer and a very funny dude. Yeah.
And he got in touch with Verhoeven, and Verhoeven like answered him and was like, I don't know what The Simpsons is.
Yeah. Like, his answer was like, yeah, I think the production designer chose it I didn't know what it was. I just assumed it was something American and you guys would all get it. Is that the fucking coolest answer ever? It's like, yeah, we'll put some American bullshit on this keychain.
But it was so, because he went and looked at the storyboard and it was one of those like kind of lizard finger puppet things. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
like the Thumb War guys.
Yeah, which were great. And that would have worked too.
that would have held our attention. Oh, I would have killed to have that.
It was fucking very satisfying to get an answer straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, dude. So happens that a friend of ours slash listener just recently wrote an oral history of Total Recall and had Verhoeven's assistant's email, was able to follow up. And truly, the assistant's like, Paul just looked at the storyboards of Basic Instinct to see if it was a Simpsons keychain. I'm like, that's so fucking cool. That's like the positive power of
the internet. Yeah. Yeah, every once in a while you stumble on it where it's like, I remember wanting in the early days of the internet, the clip from Chinatown with the cut of Jack Nicholson getting pissed off at the barbershop and someone trying to calm him down, telling him a joke. And it's like, hey, you got to, come on, you just listen to this joke. You got to hear this joke. So this guy walks in and he's all fucking, he's like, the nerve of that guy coming in here. And then they do a hard cut of him walking into his office, repeating the joke and being like, fucking so. He's like, I got to tell you this joke. And it was such a great cut and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I posted on like a clip that was on YouTube. I was like, why did they cut it off here? Because they cut it off at the end of the barbershop scene. I was like, this pays off in the very next scene. And somebody's like, I posted it here at like Ben Rogers or whatever. I was like, that fucking rules.
That's so awesome. Someone's asking what the Shadow Wolves movie is this month. It is two Scorsese docs, Italian-American and American Boy. And you'll hear me wax my first viewing of both of those. And they really blew me away. So.
Yeah, we talk on and on, right? About it. Yeah, a couple days. It'll be out.
Tomorrow. So,
yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah, less
this Wednesday,
than 24 hours.
Couple of days.
Yeah.
Oh, no idea. I look at my watch, and my watch happens to say Tuesday, and it actually helps me.
like I think it's released in 6 hours.
Yeah, right. Someone wrote, American Boy was wild. Can't believe that dude is still alive. Agreed.
Can't believe the dude is still alive and has like a 4-year-old baby.
Yeah, had a kid at like 75.
Yeah,
I guess if you are that picture,
if you're in, if you're in Scorsese's world, like you have to have a kid.
Yeah.
As an octogenarian.
Because there was that picture going around in like Robert De Niro,
and Al Pacino with their little baby.
Yeah, they both have like an under 2-year-old, and they're both in their 80s. That's like fucking insane. That's insane. You're gonna be 10 and your dad's dead. Like that seems crazy.
Meanwhile, your wife is like, you're too old for kids to me. Like, thanks, Tiff.
Yeah, thanks. Unfortunately, this is another area of male privilege. We get an extra like 20 years of being able to do.
Well, I mean, I'll bestow them with crippling depression and other psychological problems.
And don't forget the nurture part of it.
Yeah. And I'll be dead by the time they actually. Yeah.
And if I have to raise them too, they're really fucked. Like, they're already gonna have my genes and then have to live with me for 10 years. These kids are gonna be fucking toast.
They're gonna be real weird. But I'm not going to raise them. I'm going to be out.
Oh, you got to, dude.
No.
I'm going to have them, and I'm getting the fuck out of there. Got to keep my name, but I'll never see those guys again.
That's when I finally do Deadliest Catch.
It would be crazy to take, like, 4 months off Hollywood and go, like, be a tuna boat fisherman, like, sublet your place, like, save up a bunch of money. You come back.
You want to do that now? I'm still like young enough to have a kid, but I'm too old to become a fucking crab fisherman.
Wait, I want to try something with our list, with the people in the chat here. Let's see if this can work for us real quick. I had the idea of something called the old head algorithm. You and I are of a certain age that we predate the internet in looking for movies. So we would hear about movies from weird older people or like your coolest friend or your friend's older brother, or by seeing the DVD case or the VHS case in a Blockbuster.
Mm.
And I always wanted to be a video store employee giving recommendations and doing shit like that. That was like always something I wanted to do. So I thought maybe with the people we have in the chat, If you have a movie that's kind of new that you love, let us know, or a type of movie that you love, let us know. And maybe me and Rogers, with our knowledge of older bullshit and more esoteric bullshit, could maybe steer you in the direction of checking out something that you might like based on what you like. This is not the same thing, but
Coppo Drazi says, what the shit do you want?
Thank you. Thank you, Coppo Drazi. Sounds like a fucking guy who tries to kill Rambo. I want to...
Coppo Drazi.
Hey, it's Coppo Drazi. We meet again, Coppo Drazi.
Coppo Drazi, suck on this, you hootin' motherfucker.
This is dedicated to the brave soldiers of the Mujahideen.
Jane hates when I do my Stallone.
I get it, baby. I get it.
Jane, get your furry ass over here.
This is what our household's like.
Hey, Jane, what do you want from me? I'm mentally irregular.
What? Is it dinner time and you're mad at me?
Okay, someone said was very curious about a holdovers equivalent. Now, this is not the same thing, but if you like holdovers and haven't seen Harold and Maude, that's the movie I thought about. Oh, a full punch in the face and a mic drop. Literally heard her claws tap your glasses.
This is my reminder what time it is.
Right, it's dinner. It's her dinner time. It's 5 o'clock. It's 4:59.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes.
Okay.
5 o'clock on the button.
Don't worry. Like, another few minutes, Jane. We're doing something called old head algorithm.
Jane, we got to do old head algorithm before dinner. Right. Okay. You'd be good.
I came up with this idea and have a friend that would be better at it than me, so made him come on my podcast and do it.
Is holdovers anything like Sideways? I mean, they're the same director.
Same director, same lead.
Star. Yeah.
It's Alexander Payne's like sense of humor, his like dramedy adjacent kind of stuff. I always like his shit. I really like The Descendants, the George Clooney Hawaii.
I did like The Descendants. I know people who like swear by that movie. They like they watch it, they like go to Hawaii every year and they watch The Descendants.
Clear your fucking throat. I think holdovers, like, what do you like about the holdovers? Like, it's cuteness, or is it about the relationship between like a curmudgeonly old man and like a weird young hipster? Because Harold and Maude came to mind, but there are other shit. There's other shit like that out there too.
I mean, Scent of a Woman is like the first thing that comes to mind for me if I think of the holdovers.
Yeah, dude. And Scent of a Woman, as funny, but maybe not trying to be.
Yes, it's also like a 25-year-old pretending to be an 18-year-old high school kid.
And it's got Al Pacino pretending to be a blind military veteran.
From the South?
a Southern blind military vet. I love what you're firing up over here. We got Anya's putting it all aside for us. Wait. I don't know if I have a recommendation for a version of this, but someone put Sicario up there. I recently rewatched Sicario. It's fucking awesome, man. It's so fucking fun. It cannot be good politics. Like, you know what I mean? It's like one of those things where I'm watching and I'm like, I don't agree with what anyone's doing here, but I fucking love this movie. Brolin, Benicio Del Toro, Emily Blunt. There's a sequence. Do you remember Sicario?
Of course, yeah.
That sequence when they're crossing the border and there's like the other gangs and the one crazy kind of white guy with like goofy glasses and big teeth kind of looks like, what was the name of that show?
I mean, it's an incredible Brolin character. I mean, Sicario, we've covered Salvador on Action Boys. I think that would be an interesting kind of one too. If Salvador is an Oliver Stone movie with James Woods and Belushi as Dr. Rock.
Stars me and Rogers, really.
Yeah, kind of.
If you see those two guys side by side, we could easily play them in a remake.
Another one that I would throw out there if you want kind of Central American, South American political intrigue is, I think it's called Under Fire. It's with Nick Nolte. And Gene Hackman, and it's a pretty good movie, But I think the thing that I really love about it is a rare, just an unusual soundtrack by Jerry Goldsmith.
Ooh.
That is a really great soundtrack. It's him trying to do kind of more of a, like a Mexican influenced, but also like some synth. It's really interesting.
Oh, off of like weird American Mexican relationships and politics, throw out a recent Action Boys viewing. If you haven't seen it, The Wild Bunch. That was a fucking,
yeah.
That was a rewatch for me, but I hadn't seen it in a hot minute. And that was truly thrilling. And on this viewing, I got a little bit more of like the politics and the kind of whose side is who and what America was doing to Mexico and vice versa. So I found that to be really interesting on this.
I feel like Under Fire and Salvador are more like deep cuts, okay movies. And of course, you can always throw out a classic like Treasure of the Sierra Madre if you want to go like yeah. full. Like,
I mean, yeah, saying Wild Bunch Mexico. Doesn't feel like I'm yeah. going esoteric, but I'm aiming for like if you're telling me
the vibe.
Yeah, if you like Sicario, yeah. I'm like, here's right. some other shit. I would
bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia is also in the world of like a kind of gringo border. In Mexico on the border
yeah.
with a lot of violence. I mean, it's a more silly Peckinpah, but it's a lot of fun. Live and Die in L.A.
That's an interesting one to say because that one feels like kind of singular. Like, I feel like if someone told me they liked something new, I'd be like, oh, you should. I'd steer you towards To Live and Die in L.A. But if you like To Live and Die in L.A. and maybe if you like that movie, you've probably seen Manhunter. And I know they are just kind of contemporary films, but they're both big William Peterson vehicles. And Manhunter is one of my favorites. And both great fucking music.
And also too. The Friedkin-Michael Mann rivalry.
Yeah.
Sort of like two Chicago
bro art cinema heads.
Like very stubborn, overly masculine guys.
Who you're describing some of my favorite traits in directors. Overly anything, like just people who are too much of something. That's who I want making shit, you know, like an overly masculine.
So overly masculine, it does veer into the homoerotic.
Right. Where it's like...
Freaking took way bigger chances, like where he embraced it more, where it's just like, I did a movie at a gay club.
These guys were kissing and fisting everywhere.
Do you think he put the money from To Live and Die in LA into circulation?
The counterfeit money. Yeah, that's what he says. I don't know if I fucking believe it. No, I only.
Freakin's an unreliable narrator. Take it from
Freakin's stories are incredible. I think I only believe about 40% of them.
It's more fun.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
The opening of the Friedkin Connection, which is the name of his memoir, talks about like these huge missed opportunities he has in life. And one of them is his friend George Lucas showed him a space movie and asked him if he wanted to come on board. And he said, this is bullshit. I don't like it. Skipped out on that. He got sent a painting for some young artist. He hated it and threw it out. That young artist's name was Basquiat. And he got
a young recording artist asked me to direct his music video. I said no. I threw his demo in the trash. His name, Prince. Like, his book is all that shit. Meanwhile, Michael Mann is like, I go through cars like most guys go through shirts.
Okay, I see Volcanic Ash 22 says, saw Anatomy of a Murder for the first time recently. Any courtroom wrecks? This is Uncle Gabrus's fucking wheelhouse right here. I fucking love courtroom movies. I like bad ones. I like good ones. Fun ones for me are Runaway Jury. It's Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman are the two lawyers, and they're not even the stars of the movie. The stars of the movie are John Cusack and Rachel Weisz. But everyone is recognizable in the movie, and it's like a quadruple cross, like, big budget kind of big company versus a little person lawsuit kind of movie.
Mm.
Rainmaker, Francis Ford Coppola directs fucking Danny DeVito and Matt Damon in a courtroom thriller. It's a fucking awesome, like an investigative courtroom thriller. Kind of Brockovich-esque. It's not fully in the court, but another great. These are all like, these are my favorite type. These are my comfort movies. These are my cozy movies.
You got the Al Pacino movie. What is it? City Hall.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never seen it.
The Norman Jewison. Am I getting the name wrong? It's with
yeah.
Yes, no, it is not City Hall.
It's, but that's like, also got John Cusack in it.
This is also an Al Pacino movie. It's Justice for All. Yes, oh, Norman yeah. Jewison, maybe. Yeah. Yes, Norman Jewison. So it's.
I always feel uncomfortable saying his name.
Justice...
It sounds a little bit like you're saying. And I've said it before, and it sounds a little bit like I'm saying Norman Jewish something. Like makes you sound like it's something Jewish is his last name. It's like it's Jewison. You're like, oh, sorry.
The one of the great directors of the 70s, 60s and 70s, long career, Norman Jewison. And Justice for All is an interesting movie because it's Pacino playing against type, where he usually does these really big operatic performances. And now, I mean, the thing that's interesting about the movie is it's about the bureaucracy of the Justice Department. So it's less of a big courtroom drama and more kind of about the nuts and bolts of how this all works. And it's, what's the actor's name? He's the patriarch from the Bluth family.
I'm not looking at the screen. It's on Jeffrey Tambor. Jesus, yeah. Yes.
He plays his partner, and he's like the big crazy character in it. And he's surrounded by all these like wild guys. And so it's a much more understated Pacino performance. But he still has like, you know, of course, like some great courtroom speeches, which is what you want from Pacino.
That's all you want from Pacino.
Yeah.
I recently saw, I can't place the name of it, but it's Cher and Liam Neeson in a courtroom thriller. Cher is defending Liam Neeson, who's a mute, who's being framed for a murder. Suspect. Yes, good call, Anya. Yeah. It's a very, very weird movie, and it's kind of not amazing, but Cher and Liam Neeson, like, and Liam Neeson starts, he's playing an unhoused guy. And so he starts the movie with like big fake hair and a big fake beard, like the kind of props where you're like, this is coming off in two minutes.
That kind of makes me think of Jagged Edge.
Ooh, that's a good one. I haven't thought of that movie in a long. Was that at Esther House? Why is that?
That's Esther House.
That's why
yeah.
it's familiar in
Jagged
my head.
Edge is Esther House, and it's the movie where they kept on talking about what's her name? The actresses in it.
Glenn Close's
ass.
Yeah.
Became a hot topic for the studio. Shows you know, how far we've come as a society.
Yeah, no one's talking about Sydney Sweeney's mm-hmm. tits.
So in Esther House's book, Hollywood Animal, he brings up how...
A great read, by the way.
Really fun.
Yeah.
He brings up how concerned the studio was with how big Glenn Close's ass looks on film. And it became a big thing, and eventually it got back to her, and she got concerned about how big her ass looks. This is a whole chapter of his fucking book.
Yeah, I mean, the fun.
Why thing... waste your fucking time worrying about that when the movie's got a million other fucking problems?
Yeah, the movie, her ass is not a problem. Also, little did they know that you know, people will like big butts, and they're not gonna lie about it.
No, you
I
can't
mean, all the
deny.
Other brothers can deny, but. If a girl were to walk in on an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face,
I get sprung.
I see someone out there throughout Triple Frontier. Very, very interesting movie. That's the J.C. Shandor, like Special Forces movie with Ben Affleck and those guys where they go to rob. I think a similar movie.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I think it's really weird because it's not fully an action movie.
Yeah.
It was originally a Catherine Bigelow project, and that appeals to me even more than the J.C. Shandor of it all.
I just wanted to make a movie that's like the beginning of Rambo 2, where he's at the Tibetan like temple
yeah.
That he's building for all these monks, and Troutman has to talk him into like returning to you know,
we
save
can win
him,
this
like,
time. We allowed to win this
the,
time.
I always wanted to do one where he stays at the temple.
And like all the monks are kind of like bothered by him. That's kind of what
happened. Like, he has to be like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm a monk now.
We're almost done. We're doing a little monastery. We're doing a little roof
I'm
over
here. I'm almost done with the roof.
But a good recommendation I would give you off of Triple Frontier, if you haven't seen it, is Tears of the Sun, which is a kind of like middling action movie, but it stars Bruce Willis. It's Antoine Fuqua, who I think directs really fun action movies. And they play like special forces guys dropped in the jungle who stumble upon a village of innocent people who are in danger. And it's not part of their mission to rescue this village, but they, like, these seven total badasses decide to like risk their life to like, which is weirdly almost the same exact premise as Antoine Fuqua's King Arthur, which I also love. But it is like the same thing, a group of badasses. Someone has Green Knight listed there, so I'll throw out the King Arthur of Antoine Fuqua's King Arthur, the one with Clive Owen and what's her face as Keira Knightley as Maid Marian, but she's a warg and she's painted blue and has daggers. It's total badass. And then I would also throw in, if you like Green Knight, very fun, very weird. If you haven't seen the original Excalibur, there's not remakes, but if you haven't seen Excalibur, that is a fun, goofy, like, there are portions of the movie that are goofy. There are portions of the movie that are gorgeous.
You had a better time watching it than I did. I
it's built for me to like
yeah,
it,
Yeah, to me, it's a little sleepy.
It's 25 minutes too long. Like, yeah. But I'm here for, like, I like glistening armor and fucking swords. I'm gonna like a movie that has that shit in it.
There's that great Verhoeven movie that's set in the Middle Ages during the plague. Have you seen that?
No, I don't think so.
It's fucking
I got
great.
Myself a movie
it's
to watch.
Casey, do you remember the name of that off the top of your head?
It's like the name of the character, right?
Yeah, it's with Rutger Hauer. Yeah. And it's from like maybe 1980. And
I'm thinking this is
It's cool because it's Rutger Hauer is kind of like raiding this village and he like has to survive the fucking plague and everything. I mean, it's pretty great. We're pulling it up now. What the fuck is the name of it?
Flesh and Blood.
Yes. Yeah. 1985.
Oh, hell yeah.
Here's another movie that just popped into my head and not really related to any of the things that got recommended, but I just started thinking of it for some reason. I think it's called The Winter's Clearing, if I'm remembering it correctly. It's it stars, what's his name? Commander Dan, Lieutenant Dan. From,
oh, Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise.
The Clearing?
No, this isn't it. Well, never mind. I'll think of the name. Gary Sinise. It's a World War II movie, and it's
Well, hey, this is part of old head algorithm.
Yes,
is that we're gonna now we have Anya helping us out on the computer, but this would be me and Ben in a coffee shop going, no, don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone. It'll come to us.
Midnight Clear. Oh, okay, so okay. Not clearing a midnight clear. I was very close. So
Ethan Hawke, Peter Berg, Kevin Dillon, I'm on board.
Okay, so it's from 1992, and it's about this group of World War II era soldiers. They're in Germany, and they have the drop on some German soldiers, and they make an agreement with the Germans that they're going to surrender, but they have to make it look like something is going to happen, and then they're going to have their friend, Gary Sinise, get the credit for it as though, because he's having such a hard time dealing
with
the war.
They're trying to set him up to be like a hero. Yes. So he can have a heroic moment.
So they set up this fake surrender with the Germans. And then Gary Sinise comes out of nowhere and starts fucking blowing these Germans. Because he doesn't know the fucking story.
And he's going through something.
And so then all these guys are like, oh God. And then the movie's like plays out the fucking consequences of this moment. And I haven't seen it since 1992, but man, has it fucking stuck with me since. Great fucking cast, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm on board. So, someone in there has British crime films pre-Guy Ritchie. We just did one on Action Boys that I've been recommending.
We just did Long Good Friday. I assume that somebody just like setting us up to talk about the Long Good Friday.
That's what it feels like because we just...
We literally just did it. We haven't done a movie in a long time where so few people had watched it. I think of it as a classic. I mean,
I had never seen it, never heard of it until we watched it.
But man, people loved it, and a lot of you weren't alone. Yeah. Like a lot of people.
It's Bob
really
loved Hoskins,
it.
Yeah. Who you don't think of in this role, and he's just fucking awesome. Oh, Ben, did you see Beau Is Afraid, the Joaquin Phoenix like 3-hour anxiety film?
No, I never saw it.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was, I mean, it's boring in like for like 45 minutes, but the first hour is so fucking funny and the last hour is so fucking crazy. And then there's like this, the middle sequence is kind of boring at times, but also has Nathan Lane being an absolute insane character. Like there's just so much going on in this freaky ass movie. Like I couldn't even begin to try to give you a recommendation based off of that. Oh, I see the Northman in there. And also in reference to Green Knight, some really fun, what's the name of the director who did Dog Soldiers? He did a Spartan kind of movie that is awesome too that I can't place. Is it like Shackman or something like that? No. No, this is such an important live stream content. I feel like I'm on Joe Rogan. Pull it up for us. Neil Marshall, yes. The name.
I mean, I like the
Centurion is the name of his.
We saw that in the theater.
Yes, I love.
We went to see that in the theater. No, we had a good time.
Didn't we see Channing Tatum's The Eagle?
We saw that too, I believe.
Now
we definitely saw The Eagle.
I'm not recommending The Eagle. I'm recommending Centurion.
I think The Eagle was pretty good.
I didn't
too,
hate
honestly.
The Eagle. Yeah. There's a fun movie with Ben Foster called Medieval. That's not a great movie, but it has Ben Foster fucking swinging a hammer and shield, and he
I haven't thought about The Eagle since we saw. Gotta be around that same time, like right. 2009 or 10. but I just read. We did Island of Dr. Moreau, and we did the Lost Souls. I talk about this in Shadows, but I got really into reading Heart of Darkness. And there's this great part in the beginning of Heart of Darkness where it's just a bunch of guys sitting around waiting to leave England. And he's like, you know, there was a time when I'm thinking about the Roman. It's funny, the whole like, do you think about the Roman Empire? And the book basically starts with these guys being like, I was thinking about the Romans the other day and just them coming here. And this must have been the end of the world. And all the water to drink was just here in the fucking river. And there's no light anywhere. And then this book is so good. They say something like, you know, ultimately we're just but a flash of lightness. And yesterday it was dark and it's going to be dark again. And then you get into the story. That's kind of it. And the Eagle is about a bunch of like Roman soldiers, like going up into like, Scotland,
going back, trying to get back somewhere safe. Oh no, Centurion like, is trying to get. Yes. They're behind enemy lines, trying to get back.
Yeah, safely. But it's like Hadrian's Wall. Like yeah, they're like trying to go past it. Yeah.
Someone has 13th Warrior in the chat. I haven't seen that movie in so long. I can't wait till we do it on
13th Warrior. I remember pretty well from when I saw it.
I remember being let down by it.
It's
but
not
I wonder,
good.
Yeah.
People love it. The story's a mess. It's got a lot of really cool shit in it.
Yeah, I think I would like it a lot now because it just scratches some itches of movies.
It's one of those movies you hope would be better than it is.
And it's not. It's, not
it's just like yeah. I think the story is just too much of a mess. But that was like sort of the end of
what's his
name? Die Hard Predator Tiernan McTiernan. Yes.
literally listen to Jason Paul fucking Griffin and David talk about Last Action Hero for 3 hours today while I commuted and lifted and all that.
Did you bring up his commercial when you were on?
No.
Oh, you were asking me. You were asking me something to bring up as far as McTiernan goes, and I was like, well, you got to bring up his commercial.
I forgot to bring up his commercial. I talk mostly about his jail sentence and his arms.
Casey, have you seen this commercial I'm talking about? No. Oh, you love it, man. It's so McTiernan, of course, went to jail and came back, couldn't get hired to save his life, got hired to make a commercial for a video game. And it's so good,
yeah,
and it's so classic material. Yeah, I showed you guys where it starts, where it's a cat scratching at the wall at a laser, like somebody's playing a laser toy with a cat. And then you pull back and you realize the cat, it's like a stray cat in a drug den where it's all these drug dealers like fucking counting money and drugs. And then the laser moves across onto one of the guy's foreheads, like, tuk, 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 tuk. And then the fucking cat's like, meow, and like walks through the blood and leaves. And it's like, that is so fucking good. And McTiernan still got it.
Yeah. He's fucking talented, man. The guy is sharp. Last Action Hero sucks, but it's not fully the director's fault there. Well, guys, I think we're going to do old head algorithm again at some point as I get my Twitch up off the ground. Non-Marvel superhero movie. Interesting question. That's a tough one.
Oh,
to call.
We got a great one for you that we watched recently. We watched this knockoff.
Oh, my
I mean,
God.
First off, Darkman, you can never go wrong.
I'll throw out Darkman, and you probably know about this, but I'll throw out Unbreakable as well as like a great.
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan.
No,
okay.
I don't. Unbreakable is like, can we get this moving a little bit? Yeah. Like, why is everybody talking so slow?
Yeah, well,
like this is the fucking mood you got. Everybody,
the only thing,
everybody's just going, yes, I am strong.
It makes no sense. His idea of like how humans interact is like I like his movies, but his idea of like this, I'm catching the vibe of how people talk to each other.
I got a deep cut that we watched on your couch. That was a fucking blast. Every once in a while, the Action Boys do one just for us.
We watch a movie. We don't talk about it.
Don't do an episode. We refuse to do an episode. We own it.
Yeah.
Arachnophobia. We just threw on. Had a great time. We watch this movie, random pick on Amazon, called Dr. Mordred, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome.
Dr. Mordred.
Thank you, Doc Holidays. Great name also.
And Dr. Mordred, we had an absolute blast. It's someone who wanted to make Doctor Strange, couldn't get the rights, so they just fucking did their best at doing it. And it's like set in New York, but couldn't be more clearly filmed in Los Angeles. It's like one of those movies.
And his like superpowers don't make a lot of sense. And is like,
you know, they are pretty much exactly what Doctor Strange could do, which also don't make sense. and it's, God, what the fuck
For
is that?
RCRD in the chat, you're thinking of the movie Super. I've never seen it. I just don't know why I know the name of it. Yeah. I highly recommend Dr. Mordred. Like that was a fucking blast to throw along.
Yeah, would be a good pairing with Darkman.
Oh
those
yeah,
two,
that's
those
a
two
good...
movies back to back. That's a good double feature.
It's bleak as fuck, but we're gonna do old head algorithm again. I want to thank Ben Rogers here.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm gonna throw out some plugs on behalf of Rogers. You gotta check out Action Boys, the podcast we host together. But Ben also has his own one season podcast called The Rog Tapes, which is a super fun, interesting podcast that not everyone who listens to it even fully understands.
That's like... that's a great pitch. I love it.
I had a blast doing it.
Yeah.
This is a sign of a good podcast. I liked doing it and listening to it, listening to other people's episodes. I even liked listening to my own episode, which is very hard.
Yours was a lot of fun. It's definitely, it's movies you've never heard or can find anywhere else. And don't bother looking them up anywhere else or asking me about it. They only exist there as far as you have to worry about. There will be more Rog Tapes, not a full season, but they're going to be a little bit different, and they're on the way. There's going to be another one with some help from John Gabris in the near future.
A lot of fun, man. Extra James Sharkington saying, love Rog Tapes. You're going viral again. Rog Tapes was really good. You hear this, people? Rog Tapes is the ultimate old heads Rex. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
That is fair.
Plutorch. He's super pumped for a new season. My plugs will be check out my Patreon podcast, The Action Boys. And also, just announced today, just confirmed today, I will be doing the third annual High and Mighty 420 Mega Sesh live at Dynasty Typewriter on, you guessed it, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. It will also be live streamed for you out-of-town freaks. Headgum just dropped it in the chat. You know, show up, get blazed, hang out. Should be a bit of a clusterfuck. I mean, it's going to be 100% a clusterfuck. Should be also a good time. So come on out to fucking 420 Mega Sesh. Get it online. The link is there. And thank you guys for watching this episode of High and Mighty. We'll be back next month. Do we have that date by any chance, Anya? I know you're like on top of like 15 things over there. But we'll be back the last Tuesday in April, I believe. It's like April 29th or something crazy like that. April 30th, we are back in the studio for a live streamed episode of High and Mighty. We'll be doing these monthly. if you're a listener and you're listening to this episode and didn't watch the live stream, let me know if that sucks or you don't mind that. I'm curious how that feels for listeners, if that format break is weird since it's been 510 episodes of the exact same fucking format. And I would love to stay in chat longer, but I have to drive somewhere else and do a different live stream for HeadGum.
Later, shitheads. Great seeing everybody.
Bye, shitheads. See you on the Doughboy stream and definitely on the 420 live stream mega sesh. Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on!
Do it now!